two young gentlemen. The grey evening of August had come down over the city, and the air was warm. It was Sunday, and the shops were closed, but there were brightly dressed people in the streets. The noise of the crowds rose up into the warm air. Two young men came down the hill of Rutland Square. One of them was telling a long story to the other, who sometimes had to step into the road to avoid his rude friend. But Lenehan smiled and sometimes laughed as he listened. He was a short man with a red face, and his hair was already turning grey. When he was sure that his friend had finished speaking, Lenehan laughed noiselessly for half a minute. Then he said, "Well, that takes the biscuit." And, because he was afraid that his words sounded too weak, he added, "Yes, that's a great plan you have there. It really takes the biscuit." Then Lenehan became serious and silent. His tongue was tired. He had been in a pub all afternoon, and he had talked a lot. Most people knew that Lenehan borrowed money from his friends and family, but he was always happy and bright, and he had a lot of friends. He had a clever way of coming up to a group of people in a bar and slowly joining the conversation. Someone usually bought him a drink. He told a lot of jokes, and he knew a lot of funny stories. People were sometimes rude to him, but he did not care. Nobody knew what his job was, but he seemed to know a lot about horse racing. "And where did you pick her up, Corley?" he asked. Corley ran his tongue quickly along his top lip.
"One night," said Corley, "I was going along Dame Street, and I saw her standing outside a shop. I said, 'Good evening,' and we went for a walk along the river. She told me she was a servant in a rich family's house in Baggot Street. I put my arm round her, and we arranged to meet the next Sunday. That Sunday, we took the tram out to Donnybrook and went into a field there. It was great. She brought me cigarettes every night, and she always paid for the tram tickets. One night, she brought me two huge cigars which she stole from the rich man she works for. I was afraid she might get pregnant, but she's very careful."
"Maybe she thinks you'd marry her if she was going to have a baby," said Lenehan.
"No, I told her I lost my job," said Corley. "I said I'd had a good job before. She doesn't know my name. I'm not a fool, but she thinks I'm great."
Lenehan laughed again noiselessly.
"You've got a wonderful plan for her," he said. "It certainly takes the biscuit."
Corley smiled, and his body swung from side to side. Lenehan jumped into the road again. Corley's father had been a policeman, and Corley was as big as his father and walked like him, standing straight and swinging his head from side to side. His head was large, round and oily. His hat was also round,
and he wore it to the side. At the moment, he was not working. But if he needed a job, his friends could often help him to find one. Sometimes, you could see him walking with policemen, talking seriously. He knew what was happening in the city, and usually had strong opinions. His conversation was mostly about himself, and he spoke without listening to other people. Lenehan offered his friend a cigarette. As the two young men walked through the crowd, Corley sometimes turned to smile at some of the passing girls, but Lenehan was looking up at the moon. After a few minutes, Lenehan said, "Tell me, Corley, will she do it? You never know with women."
"She's all right," said Corley. "I know how to get her to do what I want. She really likes me."
"You're a real gentleman," said Lenehan.
Lenehan was laughing a little at Corley, but Corley did not notice. He did not notice a lot of things.
"There's nothing like a servant," said Corley.
"And you've tried them all," said Lenehan.
"I used to pick girls up on the street," said Corley. "I used to take them out on the tram and pay for the tram, or take them to a play at the theatre, or buy them chocolate and presents. I spent a lot of money on them."
"I know all about that," said Lenehan. "It's no good."
"You're right," said Corley. "It's no good."
As they passed the railings of Trinity College, Lenehan stepped into the road and looked up at the clock.
"It's 20 past, he said. "You're late."
"No problem," said Corley. "She'll be there. I always let her wait a bit."
Lenehan laughed quietly.
"You know how to do it," he said.
"I do," said Corley. "I understand women."
"But are you sure she'll do it?" asked Lenehan. "It's not easy, you know."
"I'll manage it," said Corley, a little crossly. "Just be quiet about it."
Lenehan said no more. He did not want to annoy his friend. They turned into Kildare Street. There was a man playing the harp in the road, and a circle of people were listening to him. The tune he played was sad, and the notes were deep and full. The young men walked up the street without talking, and the music followed them. When they reached Stephen's Green, they could no longer hear the harp through the noise of the trams and the people.
"There she is," said Corley.
At the corner of Hume Street, a young woman was standing. She wore a blue dress and a white hat, and she was swinging an umbrella in one hand. Lenehan was getting excited.
"Let me have a look at her, Corley," he said.
"I'll go over and talk to her," said Corley. "You can walk past, but don't speak to her."
He was getting annoyed again. There was a chain along the side of the road, and Corley started to step over it, but Lenehan stopped him.
"And after? Where will we meet?" he asked.
10:30, on the corner of Merrion Street," said Corley. "We'll be coming back then."
"Good luck," said Lenehan.
Corley did not answer. He stepped over the chain and walked across the road, swinging his head from side to side. He was a big man, and the solid sound of his boots made him seem very important.
He approached the young woman and started to talk to her. She swung her umbrella more quickly and turned on her feet. Once or twice, she laughed. Lenehan watched them for a few minutes. Then he followed Corley across the road. As he approached the corner of Hume Street, he smelled scent in the air and he looked at the young woman carefully. She was wearing her best Sunday clothes. She had a blue dress with a wide black belt and a short black jacket with some red flowers attached to it. Lenehan saw her short, strong body, wide mouth and large front teeth. She looked healthy, with fat red cheeks and bright blue eyes. As he passed them, Lenehan took off his cap, and after about 10 seconds, Corley raised his hand thoughtfully and moved his hat a little. Lenehan walked as far as the Shelburne Hotel, where he stopped and waited. After a few minutes, Corley and the young woman came towards him, and when they turned to the right, he followed them. As he walked, he saw Corley's head turning towards the young woman's face. He followed the pair until they climbed on to the Donnybrook tram. Then he turned round and went back the way he had come. Now he was alone, he looked older and unhappier. He ran his hands along the railings, walked slowly round Stephen's Green and then down Grafton Street. He watched the crowd carefully but unhappily. Young women looked at him, but he did nothing. He did not want to pick anybody up. He did not want to talk, to tell stories and jokes. His mind and throat were both too dry for that. The problem of what to do for the hours until he met Corley again worried him. He could think of nothing except to keep walking. He turned to the left when he came back to the corner of Rutland Square, and he felt more relaxed in the dark, quiet street. He stopped for a moment in front of a cafe. On the glass of the window were the words ginger beer. There was some food in the window, and Lenehan looked at it for a few moments. Then he looked quickly up and down the street and went into the cafe. He was hungry because he had eaten almost nothing since breakfast. He sat down at a wooden table opposite two young women in work clothes and a mechanic. A girl came to the table.
"How much is a plate of peas?" he asked.
2 pence, sir," said the girl.
"Bring me a plate of peas," he said, "and a bottle of ginger beer."
He spoke roughly, because he did not want the people in the shop to think he was a gentleman. He wanted to look natural, so he pushed his cap back on his head and put his elbows on the table. The mechanic and the two women looked at him for a moment before they started talking again in soft voices. The girl brought him a plate of hot peas, a fork, and his ginger beer. He ate the food quickly. It was good, and he decided to remember the name of the cafe. When he had eaten the peas, he sat and drank his ginger beer, thinking about Corley's adventure. He imagined the pair of lovers walking along a dark road. He heard Corley's voice and saw the woman's mouth smiling at him. This made him think about how unhappy he was and how poor.
He was 30 years old. Was he ever going to get a good job and have a home of his own? He thought how nice it would be to sit by a warm fire and eat a good dinner. He had walked the streets long enough with friends and with girls. But he still had some hope. Maybe one day he could find a nice girl with a little money. He paid the girl and walked out of the cafe. At the corner of George's Street, he met two friends and stopped to talk with them. He was pleased that he could stop walking for a moment. His friends asked if he had seen Corley, and he told them he had spent the day with him. They talked about other friends and what they had done. At a 9:45, he left his friends and walked back to Stephen's Green. There were fewer people in the streets now. It was 10:00 when he returned to the corner of Merrion Street. One or two cigarettes remained in his pocket, and he lit one. After 30 minutes, he saw Corley and the young woman coming towards him, walking fast. They were not talking. They turned down Baggot Street and Lenehan followed. They stopped outside a big house and talked for a moment. Then the young woman went down some steps to the servants' entrance, which was under the house. Corley remained in the road. A few minutes passed. Then the front door of the house opened and the woman ran out. Corley walked up to her, and for a moment Lenehan could not see her behind his friend's big body. Then she ran back in again. The door closed and Corley began to walk towards Stephen's Green. Lenehan followed him. "Hello, Corley," he called. Corley turned and looked at him, but continued walking. After a few minutes, he went into a smaller street. Lenehan ran after him.
"Well," he said, "did you manage it?"
Corley stopped under a street lamp and looked at him. Then he held out his hand under the lamp and smiled. A gold coin shone in his fingers.